woke before sunrise with my chest tight and my mind already bracing for him. The apartment felt pinned under a pressure that never lifted. I listened for the shift of his weight in the next room, knowing that one wrong question could turn the whole day into a fight. I moved slow, careful, silent. I kept my thoughts to myself. I tried to breathe without sounding guilty of something I did not do. His phone buzzed and I froze. A sound that should mean nothing. A sound that changed everything in this place. I told myself not to look. Not to ask. Not to care. But I already knew the script he would use if I slipped. He would call me insecure. He would say I imagined things. He would talk until I felt small enough to believe him. I stood there in the early light, holding back words that once came easy. I did not know it yet, but this was the morning the first real crack opened in me. Chapter 1. The first break in me. I woke early again. The sky outside the window was a deep gray, the kind that hides the sun and stretches the night longer than it should be. The apartment sat in stillness, a heavy kind of quiet. I lay there listening for him, waiting to hear if he was in a good mood or in one of those dark swings that came without warning. I hated that this had become my life, checking his mood before I checked my own. I got out of bed and moved through the hallway. Every step felt like I was walking on glass. The kitchen light hummed when I switched it on. It was the only warm thing in the room. I made coffee and tried not to think about the late-night silence from his side of the bed. He came in after midnight without a word. He dropped his keys, turned his back, and went straight to sleep. Not even a glance at me. When his phone lit up on the counter, I felt a twist in my stomach. I did not touch it. I did not breathe. I tried to shake off the feeling, but it clung to me. I whispered to myself to stay calm, to not ask questions, to not start anything. That was the rule he drilled into me without ever saying it. He walked in a few minutes later. His face blank, his steps slow. He took the mug out of my hand without asking, sipped from it, and set it down. He did not look at me. I waited for him to speak. I waited for something that could anchor the morning. Instead, he opened the fridge and asked why we were out of milk. The tone in his voice told me this was somehow my fault. I asked where he was last night. My voice came out thin. I tried to steady it, but it shook. He looked at me with that cold stare he used when he wanted me to feel stupid. He said he was out with friends. He said he had told me earlier. I knew he did not. He turned it back on me so fast my breath caught. He said I never listen. He said I forget things. He said he was tired of being questioned. His words came sharp and clean. They cut through whatever confidence I had left. The argument rose from nothing. He raised his voice first. I stepped back. He turned the whole thing into an attack on my character. He told me I was paranoid. He told me I was dramatic. He told me he needed peace, and I did not know how to give it. The coffee smell filled the room, but all I tasted was fear. I listened as he twisted the story into a version where I was the one who ruined the morning. He walked away without finishing the conversation. He left me standing there with my hands trembling. I sat on the edge of the couch and tried to calm down. I tried to remind myself that the truth mattered, but every time he talked to me like that, I felt it slipping from my reach. I remembered the early days when he was warm, steady, attentive. He smiled easy then. He listened. He asked about my day. I did not see the mood swings or the subtle comments that chipped at me piece by piece. I did not see the way he always needed control. Later that afternoon, he acted as if nothing happened. He brushed against me in the hallway and gave me a quick kiss. I wanted to push him away. Instead, I froze. The sudden affection confused me. It always did. He reached for my hand and asked what I wanted for dinner. His tone was soft. It pulled me in. It made me question the pang from the morning. It made me wonder if I exaggerated everything. That night, he lay beside me, scrolling through his phone. The screen glow cut across his face. I watched him without moving. I told myself I should be stronger, but the truth was heavy. I felt my voice shrinking inside me. I felt myself bending around him. I hated how easy it was for him to erase my anger with one kind gesture. When he fell asleep, I stared at the ceiling for a long time. I tried to name the feeling that lived under my ribs. It was not sadness. It was not fear alone. It was something deeper, something that told me I was losing myself inch by inch. I whispered into the dark that something was wrong. My voice cracked. It sounded foreign to me. I closed my eyes and held that truth for the first time, even though I did not know what to do with it yet. Chapter 2. The walls close in. The days blurred. I kept trying to track the shifts in his moods, hoping I could predict the next storm before it hit. I woke each morning with the same tight feeling in my chest, as if my body already knew what was coming before my mind caught up. He moved through the apartment with a steady confidence that made me feel smaller every time I watched him. I told myself to stay quiet. I told myself not to provoke anything. But the silence I kept became another weapon he used. His first tactic was the sudden distance. He stopped responding when I spoke. He let questions hang in the air until they rotted. If I asked whether something was wrong, he shrugged without looking at me. If I tried to talk through an issue, he gave me that long, blank stare that made me doubt my own thoughts. The silence stretched until I apologized for things I did not understand. His coldness felt endless. It pushed me into corners inside myself I did not know existed. Then came the resets, the moments where he pulled me close once he felt I had bent enough. He would show up at the bedroom door with soft eyes and gentle hands. He would call me baby and tell me I worked too hard. He would kiss my forehead like he was comforting me, even though he was the one who split me open. The warmth never lasted. It only marked the start of another cycle. I held on to it anyway because I needed something to believe in. He began isolating me without ever raising his voice. It started with comments about my friends. He said they were jealous. He said they put ideas in my head. He said they did not understand our bond. It was a big time for Dr. Fading to be sad on what it means. PRs. Then he sharpened them. He told me one friend was fake. He told me another enjoyed watching us struggle. He accused a third of wanting to ruin what we had. He said all of it with calm certainty, so I questioned my own judgment. Soon I stopped sharing details of our arguments with anyone. I stopped reaching out as often. When my phone rang, he watched my reaction. When I smiled at a message, he asked who it was and why they were texting me at that moment. He said it in a joking tone, but the joke carried teeth. I laughed to keep the peace. I always laughed when I felt cornered. The gaslighting grew sharper. He rewrote full conversations. He told me events never happened. He told me I confused dates, times, words. He said I made up problems because I enjoyed drama. He said I twisted his intentions. The calm confidence in his voice made me doubt my own memory. I started keeping notes just to remind myself of what actually happened, but even that didn't help. He could dismantle my certainty in seconds. One night, he embarrassed me in public. We were at a small gathering, nothing loud, just a few people sitting around talking. I made a simple comment, something harmless. He cut me off with a laugh. He said I always misunderstood things. He said it loud enough for everyone to hear. When I tried to explain what I meant, he leaned back and made a joke about how sensitive I was. The group laughed. My face burned. I sat there quiet, holding the sting in my throat. When we got home, he twisted the entire night into my fault. He said I overreacted. He said I ruined the mood. He said I embarrassed him. His voice grew tense. His eyes hardened. I tried to defend myself, but he spoke faster, louder, sharper. He accused me of twisting the story to attack him. By the end of the argument, I apologized just to make the room stop spinning. He walked away satisfied. I stood alone in the hallway with tears sliding down my face, unsure how the ground moved so fast under me. The weeks pushed through me. I felt myself slipping into a numbness I had never known. I stopped recognizing the person I was becoming. I tried to speak up once more, late at night. I told him I felt pushed aside. I told him I felt confused. I told him the constant shifts were tearing at me. He stared at me like he was studying an insect. Then he struck hard. He said my emotions were unstable. He said I needed help. He said he put up with more than anyone else would. His words hit a deep place. A dark one. A place he made in me. I stopped responding. I sat on the edge of the bed, my body shaking, my mind sinking. He walked out as if the conversation meant nothing. I stared at the door after it closed. Something inside me collapsed. I felt the hopelessness take shape. I felt it sit heavy in my chest. I felt the truth rise, one I tried to avoid for too long. This was not love. This was destruction dressed in affection. This was control wrapped in charm. This was a slow dismantling of everything I used to be. I lay awake until morning, my hands cold, my thoughts circling. I whispered the word abuse for the first time. It scraped its way out of my throat. I said it again to hear how it sounded in my voice. The room felt colder when the truth landed. I was in something dangerous, and I did not know how to climb out. Chapter 3. The Last Door Out. The morning I decided to gather proof did not feel brave. It felt desperate. I woke with a hollow ache in my chest, the kind that told me something had already broken beyond repair. He was still asleep beside me, breathing slow and steady, looking harmless in the dim light. I studied his face for a long moment, trying to remember if I ever felt safe next to him. The answer came quiet and painful. I hadn't felt safe in months. I moved carefully, sliding out of bed without shifting the mattress. I stepped into the hallway where his voice could not reach. I opened my phone and began saving everything I once talked myself out of believing. Screenshots. Old messages. Apologies he only sent when he wanted something. Recordings of arguments where he twisted facts until I questioned my own mind. I kept each piece like I was building a case for my sanity. My hands shook the entire time. I was terrified he would wake up and see the fear in my face. I hid the evidence in a folder with a plain name and sent copies to my email. I did not know what I would do with any of it. I only knew I needed proof to fight the lies he poured over me. Proof that I was not imagining the pain he caused. By afternoon, he sensed the shift. He studied me with narrowed eyes, as if he could read the thoughts I was trying to hide. His questions came soft, but sharp. Why was I quiet? Why was I distant? Why did I keep looking away when he spoke? My throat closed each time he came near. I answered with short phrases. I avoided anything that could trigger a meltdown. He followed me through the apartment. His tone grew tense. He decided I owed him explanations. He said I had been ungrateful. He said I no longer appreciated his efforts. He spoke as if he was the one falling apart. I kept my mouth shut. I did not trust myself to speak without shaking. That night, the confrontation came hard. He found a message in my phone that I forgot to delete. A message from a friend asking if I was okay. He stormed into the room with the screen glowing in his hand. His voice cut through the air. He demanded answers. He accused me of poisoning people against him. He said I was creating drama to paint him as a monster. I stood my ground for the first time in months. My voice trembled, but I told him I was tired. I told him I felt hurt. I told him his treatment was breaking me. The truth came out thin, but it came out clean. He stared at me with a rage so sharp it made my legs weak. He denied everything. Every insult. Every twist. Every silent punishment. He said I made it all up. He said I was manipulating him. He said he should be the one gathering proof. His words rose until the room felt too small to hold them. He stepped closer and lowered his voice. He said if I kept pushing, he would walk out and leave me with nothing. The threat sent a cold wave through my spine, not because I believed him, but because I realized he believed himself. In that moment, I understood something final. He would never see himself as the problem. He would never take responsibility for the damage he caused. He would break me to protect the image he carried in his mind. I walked out while he was still talking. My hand shook so badly I could barely open the door. I stepped into the hallway with a force that did not feel like courage. It felt like survival. I did not look back. I could not. I left the apartment barefoot, my pulse hammering as if someone was chasing me. The elevator doors closed and I felt my knees weaken. Outside, the air hit my face like a shock. I kept walking until the building disappeared behind me. My body trembled from the tension still burning through it. I found a quiet bench and sat there with my arms wrapped tight around my chest. The night felt wide and empty, but for the first time in months, it did not feel suffocating. The silence was different out here. It did not punish me. It did not twist my thoughts. It did not wait for me to fail. I let the tears fall without trying to hide them. They came hot and fast. They came from deep places I hadn't touched in a long time. I cried until my breath slowed. I cried until my shoulders unlocked. I cried until I felt something loosen inside me. I stayed outside until the sky turned pale. I did not want to return. I did not know where else to go. When I finally stood up, my legs held unsteady but lighter, I walked toward a small 24-hour cafe and sat alone with a cup of tea. I stared at the steam rising from the cup and felt the weight of everything. The exhaustion, the fear, the broken pieces, the truth that leaving would not erase the damage. When I checked my phone, I saw the messages he left. Long paragraphs, shifts from rage to pity to promises. He wanted me to come home. He wanted me to stop embarrassing him. He wanted control again. I read each line without responding. The words no longer pulled me in. They landed flat. I headed to a friend's house later that morning. When she opened the door, I broke again. She helped me inside and listened as I spoke through the shaking in my voice. I showed her the proof I gathered. She did not question me. She did not doubt me. She held the truth steady when I struggled to believe it myself. The following days were a blur of grief and clarity. I blocked his number. I muted his social media. I told myself I would not go back, even though part of me still felt tethered to the cycle. The pull of old habits was strong, but the cost of returning was stronger. I rebuilt slowly. I cooked simple meals. I sat in silence without fear. I walked each evening to steady my breath. I learned how to hear my own thoughts again. The healing moved in small, uneven steps. Some days felt heavy. Some felt almost peaceful. I tried to let both exist without shame. One morning I woke and realized the hopelessness had shifted. It was still there, but it no longer controlled the room. It no longer owned my voice. I understood then that freedom did not arrive all at once. It came in quiet moments. It came in choices. It came in the spaces I fought to reclaim. I was not the same woman who started this story. I carried scars that I was not the same woman who started this story. Proof of what I survived. Proof of what I refused to endure any longer.